Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast. What's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome to the LA Football Show, always on the LA Football Network and live on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We are coming at you live from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Got a nice setup here. You can see it right behind us if you're on video. If you're on radio, make sure to go check out LAFB Network to watch the video. But I'm here with my man Skinny T. What's up, brother? How we doing? I mean, we've had a blast so far, but for the audience, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Indianapolis is a more fun city than I thought it would be. I heard all the reports. I figured it was because everybody's partying hard when they're here, but it's actually kind of a cool city. Really historic stuff around. We went to the oldest bar in Indiana last night.
The Slippery Noodle.
The Slippery Noodle.
Fantastic.
Watch some mediocre blues music. But I mean, that guitar player or the keyboard player, he was wailing.
The coolest thing about that music, I still haven't figured it out, but from what we could surmise, it was all just random instrument players that just went up on stage randomly and then just started jamming together. Like, none of them knew each other. They didn't have like a set list played out. Yeah, which is pretty impressive.
Ages ran anywhere. I think that kid, the guitar player kid, was probably in his 20s, and the bass player was probably in his close to 70s or something like that.
Yeah. So the Slippery Noodle, great building right by our hotel, right by Lucas Oil. The coolest thing, Ryan, about this city so far that I've noticed is very walkable. And obviously we haven't gone too far, but like everything that you need is right here. You got the stadium where the Combine events are. The convention center's right across from the stadium where all the interviews are held. And then all the hotels and bars are in this like 8-block radius, it feels like. So definitely a good spot to have the Combine. And it was voted in 2019 by some random article I found on WordPress. I don't even know if it's legit. But it was voted legit. Best convention city in America.
I think so. I wrote that article, so it's legit.
Yeah, it's back on the old Sports Al Dente website, right? That's where I found it. But no. Super pumped to be here. Show is always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Tell the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. We're going to start the show off talking Rams. So on podcast, this is your Rams segment. We'll do our Chargers segment after. So we'll split that up for the Chargers podcast. But no first round pick, per usual, for the Rams. No Rams brass in Indy, per usual.
Right.
I have a photo. I think our friend Zach is here too. I think you took a photo as well. But all the teams have like their suites in the stadium where all the GMs and personnel all hang out. And from what I could tell, it was a little far away. The Rams were the only team, not a soul in the suite, just empty.
Nobody. But Zach, our man on the ground over there, we took off a little early because we had to freshen up for the episode, make sure we're looking good for you guys. But he did see one person taking up the whole box. And I was kind of trying to guess who it was. And I think it's the linebackers coach, Chris Beek. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know, though. I'm just guessing.
I mean, it makes sense considering it was linebackers today.
Yeah, yeah. He was about the size of a peanut, you know, in the picture, so it's hard to say.
So you have zero idea. You're just literally blindly guessing.
Yep.
Because linebackers and...
Yeah.
Okay. And the Rams do have a slight need at linebackers, so that's, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that's hilarious how every team... Some had obviously more than others, but at least, you know, 3 to 4 or so people, and the Rams had... Well, I guess one that we're
some of those booths were packed and others were lonely. But they would put, you know, GMs or the head coach up on the big screen in the stadium, and they were just looking down at their phone anyway.
Oh yeah, always. Well, let's start with that before we get into some like potential prospects for the Rams, and we can chatter that we've heard and stuff. But is it odd to you that still they're really the only team that doesn't send anyone, or is it we've learned and we've seen even being here that there's really not a ton of value for them to be here anyway? Or do you think there is some and it's a little concerning that they're still not really sending anyone?
I mean, they've done so well with some of their draft picks that I think that their batting average, drafting where they have, picking the guys that they have, they're not batting 1,000, that's for sure. But they're doing pretty good. So I think their system is working out okay. You know, I don't know why they can't do both. I don't know why they can't. You know, I can understand Les Snead not coming or Sean McVay not coming. They got other fish to fry, but a few scouts would be kind of nice to see in there. And I don't know, but I guess maybe they already have the information that they need, and they just, you know, we're all looking for the numbers, you know, that are coming out from these guys because we're in the media, but they're going to get those and with plenty of time to make the picks that they want.
Yeah, and I think we realized too that. We were talking about it on our way out, is sitting in person in the stadium, I think with quarterbacks and maybe receivers, there's some value. You're seeing it live, seeing the arm pop and stuff like that. But a lot of the other drills, there's no more value in person than there are on the television screen.
And it might be better on TV, you know.
Well, it is. I mean, there was a solid 45 minutes of DNs running 40s where there was no times being displayed, so none of us had any idea what was actually happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was an overlay issue on the big board or they just wanted to keep us in the dark. But
someone's getting fired.
Yeah, someone was not doing their job. So I think there's that. That's probably what the Rams are thinking, is there is almost more value just to stay home and do that. Now, where I would say is probably the value of being here in person is for the in-person interviews, which obviously you can do virtually. Everyone knows that with technology nowadays, as we are putting this podcast out virtually and stuff like that. So, but there is something tangibly nice about, you know, sitting down with, you know, for a job interview.
Like, oh, yeah.
Any job that we've been for, it's always weird now doing a virtual interview. Something about like when you're in an office, sitting face to face, you can kind of feel there's something tangible there, and you can get a vibe better in person than you can over a screen.
There's actually probably a school of thought out there that would say that kind of vibe is something that you would actually want to avoid getting. You know, you feel really good around a person. Maybe he reminds you of your best friend from college or something like that. So,
okay. All right, skinny tea.
So, you know, just, you know.
Playing a little devil's advocate there.
Well, just peeling the layer back a little bit and thinking, you know, like Les Snead, I think that's probably, you know, the forward-thinking kind of thinking that he does.
I'm always curious if Les Snead has, like, 20 prospects and then just has a dartboard and just like Ted Lasso style, like, all right, this is who we're taking. Because sometimes his drafts feel like that.
Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes, you know, like,
Tutu Atwell. Well, all right, hit on the dartboard. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, no, I think Sean McVay was guiding his hand on that one. No, over there to the left.
All right, so picking at 36, 37, debatable where they're picking first in the second round. But it's a high second round pick. I mean, that's arguably a late first.
That's pretty much a first round pick.
Yeah, which is like the highest they've had in many, many years.
Yeah, I actually looked it up, but I cannot remember. But I mean, Tutu, speaking of him, he was 54, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cam Akers was maybe nearly 20 picks higher. I think Van Jefferson was like 51 and Cam was 53 or something, because then weren't they like two picks apart or something like that? So a high pick. So we can talk some prospects, but first, I mean, what position are you really wanting? Ryan Anderson, skinny tees on the nameplate, GM of the Rams. Who are you, or what position are you targeting there with that first pick?
I'm going edge rusher. The class is deep. I think you can get
saw some great guys out there today.
Yeah, I think you can get some starting talent right off the bat at that pick. Everybody's leaning offensive line. I actually think they're in a better place. They're not going to be as injured. It's statistically impossible, you know, sorry for Rams fans if it happens
easy again,
that they will be as injured at that position group in 2023. So, obviously, they have Leonard Floyd, stalwart guy.
For now.
Right. We never know. We'll just put that caveat out there. Mm-hmm. This is talking as of today. They've got Leonard Floyd, and then behind him they have Michael Hoyt, and then they have Daniel Hardy. Michael Hoyt was interesting, but he's not the edge rusher that the Rams like. Not fast enough to drop into coverage.
doesn't contain the edge.
Not fast enough to contain the edge either.
Which is not his fault. I mean, he's playing out of position.
He's a scrappy dude. We all like him, definitely, but he's not in the right position. So there's a ton of work to do at that position. And in terms of free agency, not a lot of guys out there at edge. And you're going to overpay at that point, which the Rams always try to avoid. So I think this is their best option to get an edge rusher that can just be on the field right away.
Yeah, and make a difference, I think, right off the bat.
Yeah.
You said, right away.
Yeah. What about you?
No, I mean, so over the course of the season and off season, I, like many others, probably a lot of fans, was O-line no matter what. It was like Devontae Mack no matter what from draft day. I was like, O-line no matter what. But as I've been thinking about it, and as we were talking, I tend to agree with you. I think it's a position that was just so uncharacteristically injured that we can't base this next season's success on last season's injury woes. Because when you look at the depth across the board, I mean, they do have some talent. Obviously, there needs to be some work. We'll see what new offensive line coach can really bring to the table in developing these guys. Comes from, you know, good system over there in Buffalo. And obviously, we've talked about the ties with him and Aaron Cromer and now Zach Cromer on the staff and all that tying together. So, but I mean, when you look at it, and I'm going to steal your thunder here a little bit because we were talking, you potentially could make Alaric Jackson your starting left tackle, who surprised a lot of people. Yep. And we both loved Alaric when they got him because Iowa guy. I mean, he's got the pedigree. Sometimes they say not draft the helmet, but sometimes the helmet gives you some pedigree.
Yeah, it's the track record.
And those Iowa guys know how to play offensive line.
Absolutely. Wisconsin guys, you know, Stanford guys, you know, there's a reason that these schools churn out these prospects.
Exactly.
Notre Dame as well, you know, a lot of good guys coming
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. So, Alaric, that played very well, played much better than Nopum, even when Nopum was in there.
Yeah.
So you have some flexibility there where if you go Alaric, you slide Nopum inside to left guard, like you were saying. Brian Allen will be back. And then Logan Bruss, we would assume, can take that right guard.
Or Coleman Shelton.
Coleman Shelton.
Played really well.
When healthy. Yeah. Absolutely.
And they got Havenstein on the right side.
And then you still have, you know, Tremaine Ankrum, who I know they're fond over, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, as another depth piece. And obviously with their 8 to 12 draft picks, wherever they land, they're going to draft offensive line too to add to that. But I don't think you necessarily anymore have to use 36 for offensive line. And as you just mentioned, not a lot of talent at edge. And that's a very important position. As we learned last year, when you lose Aaron Donald and you have literally no pass rush to speak of.
Yeah, so that's where I think they're going to go. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, I understand the offensive line thing, but they actually have a lot of good depth there. And if you're thinking you're going to find a replacement for Andrew Whitworth at 36, I just don't think that's in the cards. It's not guaranteed anyway. Whereas I think you have more guarantees with an edge rusher, where it's easier to define those things, and they're usually a little bit ready to go. You know,
and edge, as we learned, is essentially the second or third highest paid position in football when it comes down to the elite players. Yeah. And so obviously the Rams don't have that kind of money. And so why go into free agency to get a subpar veteran guy when you can use a higher draft pick and potentially get, you know, the next great edge rusher in that, you know, second round's a prime spot for good edge talent.
Yeah.
You don't have that top end right off the bat. But we've seen a lot of guys become very, very good, obviously at every position that happens. But, obviously, we saw them run 40s and shuttles, but any guys jump at you think could be there? Obviously, the Georgia kid did you see his official time came in 4.38?
Holy cow! I did not see the
official time 4.38. That is unfair.
Nolan.
Exactly.
He was, I believe, a freak of
Bruce Feldman's freak list. I mean, that whole team is a freak list, basically.
Yeah, the whole defense is. Should be pro. Low production is one big concern. 12 and a half sacks over his career. So
similar to last year's first overall pick in terms of production.
That's a fantastic point. I don't think he's going to drop out of the first round, even just a little bit, though.
He won't be at 36. Everyone can just take that dream out of there. But I think there's the Iowa, if we want to stick with Iowa, Ness, I think, is a potential guy that could be there, maybe. I don't know.
Definitely. I think he could probably be taken with their second, their next pick, or wherever they are after that.
Not their first, second round pick. Yeah. So, I think that, I mean, there's some great talent there that I think they can get. So I like it. Edge. I think we're both in agreement there.
Absolutely.
Would you be shocked? We won't see these guys till later in the week, but would you be shocked? Okay. It's hard to say shocked with the Rams, but if they go running back or receiver, let's say.
No. I mean, I think they're always looking to add offensive weapons.
Juice, as Sean McVay likes to say.
Yeah.
Which was the 2-2 pick. That was your juice pick. Pretty dry juice.
Not a lot of juice from that squeeze, yeah.
Yeah. I think there can be. That's a whole other subject, a whole other story. I just think he's being used right. But anyway.
Yeah, that's another topic for another day. I think I would guess they would probably lean more toward a wide receiver.
Really?
Yeah, or a tight end as well.
Okay, yeah, tight end as well. I mean, they got Higbee's a free agent, right? So
yeah.
I mean, you hope they bring him back, but you never know with the caps or the lack thereof in cap space what they can do.
Yeah, they got three.
Okay, let's talk tight end because this is a good tight end class. Maybe they go tight end at 36.
That would be really interesting. I think a lot of people would be really mad about that. They haven't had a lot of success at picking tight ends. Obviously, they haven't picked one that high in quite some time.
Yeah, if ever, I'm trying to think. I'm sure that maybe in the history of the Rams organization, but I can't think of many.
Yeah.
I mean, Higbee was, what, a fourth round pick?
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bryson Hopkins, who obviously has me, but he was a fourth round, I believe. Jacob Harris was a fifth round, I think.
Barely qualifies at this point.
Yes. Rams past draft. Always seem good, and some are good. So.
Yeah, what do you think on the juice side of things? I mean,
I could really, really see them taking running back. I don't think a lot of people would like that. I know we talked a little bit after walking out how you could see them maybe taking a running back in free agency.
Well, and the only reason I really started leaning into that is the LaFleur connection to San Francisco and McVay wanting that kind of system be injected into Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And there are four or five former 49er running backs as free agents.
That's true.
And you could probably get for a really good deal. And he's still got Cam Akers and he's still got Kyron Williams. So it's a tough call for me.
No, I agree with that. I think for me, in free agency department, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of many times, at least in the Sean McVay era, where they've signed a running back in free agency. They typically do like the draft running back every year and just like, all right, we let our older back walk and then we just kind of reshuffle the assembly line, if you will, of backs. Now, what I will say, and I'm not saying I want them to take a running back a second. I think that's a little too rich for what they need. But if a guy like Zach Charbonnet is there or Tajay Spears is there, one of these high talented backs that can do it all, obviously we've loved Kyron Williams. I think there's a lot of value there. But if you can pair him with one of these other guys, your backfield's now set for, you know, 3 to 4 years instead of having to draft another one next year because you're just moving down the assembly line. So it wouldn't shock me.
Absolutely not. I'm never shocked anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I previously to this last year, I had full 100% faith that they were going to do the right thing. But after this year, I'm a little bit more skeptical, and I think that's probably a good thing for all of us.
Yes.
A little dose of truth after, you know, 5 years of winning seasons.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of had to take our medicine there a little bit. But okay, let's end with this. We're getting close on time here. Depending whenever you're listening to the show, if you're on radio, this has already happened. But if you're on podcast, this is yet to happen. We will be up bright and early, bushy-tailed and what do they say? Bushy-tailed and blue-eyed?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Bright and early tomorrow as quarterbacks and receivers are at the interview tables. So a lot of talented quarterbacks, talented in terms of, for the Rams speaking, later rounds. Do you think the Rams draft a quarterback this year at some point?
I think they do. I think they go for it. I think they try to find the Brock Purdy of 2023.
Everyone's going to try to find the Brock Purdy of 2023. I saw a redraft and someone had Purdy going in the first round.
No kidding. Yeah. I probably wouldn't go that far. I hope they don't go too high with it. Obviously, they need some help at the position. Both Bryce Perkins and John Wolford are free agents, probably going to be gone. They didn't meet the standard McVay likes to set there. So, and with,
which we could have told you. Yeah.
With Stafford coming off the injury, You know, you got to have something.
Yeah. And again, we talked about this a little bit before off air, but you, okay, let me, how do I phrase this? What would you, I'll do it in two parts. What would you prefer and what could you see more likely? A free agent quarterback, veteran free agent quarterback versus drafted quarterback. What do you prefer? What could you see happening?
I think I prefer, and I think it's going to happen, that they're going to go for a veteran.
Okay, so you leave more of them not drafting a quarterback. Or maybe like taking a flyer, like a second round.
Towards the end of it. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think McVay's going to look for stability. Okay. Position.
So someone like Gardner Minshew.
Jinx. Somebody with some...
The stash would look great in L.A., by the way.
Oh, yeah. People would love him there.
It'd be great in L.A.
He would have the kind of exposure he finally deserves, right?
Yes.
You know, Mike White, Joe Flacco, both have experience with LaFleur. You know, both have experience playing. I think that's what they're going to be looking for, is a guy that has some experience playing with a couple years under his belt in the league that can kind of... you know, come in if need be.
Yeah.
But that won't cost a lot.
Well, I think that's the last thing I'll say on that is, if they had the cap space to allocate to that, that's definitely the better play. Like, they need some stability, because in all likelihood, we just don't know what Stafford's health is like, and they may rely on whoever's the backup at some point in the season or the future. However, I just don't think they have the money to spend more than like a vet minimum for a player. Like, obviously a guy like Baker is out there. Like, wouldn't you want to bring him back? But he's going to command, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 million, which they don't have. Whereas they could go take a fourth round quarterback that obviously it's a rookie, but you may be able to get some high end talent with a little less risk in terms of dollars, and a guy that they could develop. And God forbid, if Stafford goes down, maybe they have some, but who knows? We shall see, but we have plenty more to talk about here from the Combine, but that's all the time we got for the Rams segment. This is the LA Football Show. If you're on radio, we'll be back after break. Podcast, we'll talk to you all later in the week.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.